Well, it's good to sing and worship the Lord, and we're going to turn to our Bibles now. Praise God. And I figure since there's so few of us here today, we just have the basket out front, and if you want to put something in there later, you're welcome to do so. But or you can do it now as well, if you prefer. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And we are thankful for the way the Lord has helped us, and this is an especially trying time for a lot of people. I know a lot of people are going to be hurting because of the state of the economy right now, and not just in this country, by the way, but a lot of countries. I'd say almost all of the countries right now are suffering financially, so we do appreciate what help people can give, but just give as you're able, and if you can't give as much as you normally do, we understand. We really do, because we know that it's going to be very challenging out there in the days ahead. But we are going to open our Bibles this morning, and we're going to be opening to Daniel chapter 2. I'm putting a title on this message today. We're calling this, "It's Time to Pray, Part 2." It's Time to Pray, Part 2. And this will be a continuation of last week's message. I didn't know this was going to be a two-parter until shortly after I finished that one. And last week we looked at the urgent need to pray. We looked at Scripture and we saw that sometimes there are reasons why these calamities fall upon man, why mankind loses its hedge of protection from the Lord and these diseases start wreaking havoc. It's because people fall into sin. That's what causes people to lose that blessing from God. And if people in this country would just get down on their knees and repent wholesale, it would make all the difference in the world. But I look around at people and I interact with them sometimes, and I see that more people than ever seem unwilling to do that. In fact, some of these people, their hearts are harder than ever. Now, some people are starting to wake up. They're starting to wonder, are we getting closer to the coming of the Lord? And yes, I believe we are. When I look around and I see the things that are happening right now, I know that this country is different. This country has changed, and it changed so abruptly and so quickly, it's almost mind-boggling. Now, I'm going to be telling you about some of the things that are happening in just a moment, but before I do that, I do want to pray one more time, so let's do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy goodness, for thy mercy. We thank thee, Lord, that we still have our Bibles, that we still have this opportunity to read thy word and to learn of thee. And we pray, Lord, that thy spirit would be upon all thy people here this day, all the people listening online, all the people who will hear this message later. Be with thy people, O God, and help us to understand and comprehend thy word. We need thy spirit now more than ever in these trying times, for we don't know what the future holds, but thou knowest, and we trust in thee fully and completely. We pray, O God, that thou would strengthen thy people. We pray, O God, that thou would hide us from disease, hide us from all the destruction in the world today. We ask, O God, that thou would watch over thy people and let thy hand be upon each and every one of us. We ask for thy guidance in all things. Give us great wisdom in how to proceed. And we pray, Lord, that as we look upon thy word today, we pray, Lord, that thou would do a work in our hearts. Help us to reach out to thee, to trust thee completely, to believe on thee, for we need thee so very much. And we pray, Lord, that there would be no hindrances here this morning, but we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would dare come against us, knowing, O God, that thou art sovereign, and that there is no name greater than the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. And we ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise,
we look around and what's happening, not only in this country, but in the world. And it's very serious out there right now. And I guess one question that's been on a lot of people's minds, they wonder, you know, is this virus a real thing? Is there really a virus? I've heard people ask that question. Or is this all just one big hoax? I believe it is a real virus. I believe it really is out there. And my personal belief, and obviously I can't prove this, but I believe that it was made by the Chinese, and I think that they intentionally let it spread. And this what we're looking at, what we're seeing, is we're seeing the collapse of many, many countries right now. And I looked into the history of how this all came about in China, and I did a lot of research on that. I've been writing the newsletter. It's almost finished. I'm planning to finish it today with the Lord's help. But I've been really looking at this, and China, at the very beginning of this disaster, they repeatedly lied over and over and over again, saying that there was no evidence that this disease could be transmitted from human to human. All the while, it spread. And they were letting massive amounts of people come together in crowds, and it spread like wildfire. My gut feeling on this is that it was made in a laboratory. Now, you may have seen news stories from scientists saying there's no way it could have possibly been made in a laboratory, which actually just makes me suspect it all the more. But I do believe that this is a serious issue. It is spreading like wildfire out there right now, as of this morning. And these numbers change every day. But around the world right now, there are 683,525 confirmed cases. And I know that as of right now, yes, the flu has been more deadly, but this virus is starting to close that gap. Around the world, there have been over 32,000 deaths, and considering the caseload, there's going to be many more. Another thing that's interesting is this virus especially affects older people, doesn't it? In Italy, over the last 2 days, they've been losing nearly 1,000 people a day. And most of them are older. 86% of the victims were aged 70 or older, while another 10% were aged 60 to 69, meaning that 96% of all the deaths are older individuals in Italy. Spain is having the same problem. It's starting to spread there as well. Well, it has been for a while, but it's getting worse. And by the way, as of today, China, well, not as of today, actually, this is as of a few days ago now, but right now, China is not the country with the most cases of this disease. In fact, not even by a long shot. The United States is now in the lead with 123,781 cases. Italy, which by the way is much smaller than the United States, has 92,472 cases. China has 81,000, and it has stayed at 81,000 for quite a period of time. It's interesting, isn't it, that it isn't really spreading very much in China anymore. They seem to have contained it. Which kind of makes me wonder, and I have no way of knowing, is that it's just something I wonder about. I wonder if they know how to effectively treat it. And perhaps they're not telling the rest of the world. It's a possibility, that, again, that's just speculation on my part, but Spain is going to catch up to China very soon, where they now have 78,797 cases. So sometimes it's not good to be number one, and right now, the United States is number one by quite a large margin in the amount of cases of this virus. But isn't it interesting that this virus seems to target old people? What is it about older people, older individuals, the elderly? They're the ones who are most likely to oppose the New World Order, One World Government, aren't they? What if it was designed that way? Of course, they say, well, that's impossible. It couldn't have possibly been designed. They say it's not a designer virus, which, as I said, just makes me suspect it all the more. But I'm going to read you some stories now of some of these things happening right now. This report is from the Associated Press. It was published yesterday. It says, the coronavirus continued its unrelenting spread across the United States with fatalities doubling in 2 days and authorities saying Saturday that an infant who tested positive had died. Now, it primarily affects older people, but young people can die from it too, and they were shocked when an infant died. But yes, that can happen. I've seen other stories. There was a 39-year-old woman in New York who was waiting for the results of her test, and she dropped dead in her kitchen. I hate to say that, but some of these things are happening. And part of that reason might be because people have such weakened immune systems. But the story goes on. It pummeled big cities like New York, Detroit, New Orleans, and Chicago, and made its way, too, into rural America as hot spots erupted in small Midwestern towns and Rocky Mountains, ski havens. Elsewhere, Russia announced a full border closure, while in parts of Africa, pandemic prevention measures took a violent turn, with Kenyan police firing tear gas and officers elsewhere seen on video hitting people with batons. It is getting bad out there, folks. Worldwide infections surpassed the 660,000 mark, with more than 30,000 deaths as new cases awful stacked up quickly in Europe, according to a tally by Johns Hopkins University. The U.S. leads the world in reported cases, with more than 120,000 confirmed deaths, surpassed 2,000 on Saturday, twice the number just 2 days before, highlighting how quickly infections are escalating. Still, five countries have higher death tolls: Italy, Spain, China, and Iran and France. Italy has more than 10,000 deaths, the most of any country. It's not that large of a country, but they have 10,000 deaths, and it's still climbing. The story goes on. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker said Saturday that an infant with COVID-19 died in Chicago and the cause of death is under investigation. Officials didn't release other information, including whether the child had other health issues. And he said, if you haven't been paying attention, maybe this is your wake-up call. Actually, that was the Illinois Department of Health public health director who said that. New York remained the worst hit U.S. city. And by the way, New York is like a war zone right now. New York remained the worst hit U.S. city, Governor Andrew Cuomo said, defeating the virus will take weeks and weeks and weeks. The U.N. donated 250,000 face masks to the city, and Cuomo delayed the state's presidential primary from April 28th to June 23rd. As President Donald Trump made his way to Norfolk, Virginia, to see off a U.S. Navy medical ship sent to New York City to help, he suggested imposing some kind of quarantine for New York and parts of New Jersey and Connecticut, all hit hard by the coronavirus. Now, that would be a federal quarantine. That is different from the state orders that have been put in place. This would very much be martial law. It would be enforced by the federal government. It would be enforced by troops, and no one would be allowed to go in or out without authorization. Trump is mulling this over. And he said, you know, he's thinking about it. But it goes on to say in the article, but he later tweeted that he intended to issue a strong travel advisory instead. But that doesn't mean he won't still do it. But this goes on to say, it wasn't entirely clear whether he had the power to impose such a quarantine for the three states, and the idea was met with confusion and anger from their governors. Cuomo said on CNN that it would be illegal, economically catastrophic, and unproductive since other areas are already seeing a surge. Yes, it would be illegal, but we've seen that the Constitution of the United States has been suspended. This is not a free country anymore because of this virus that is going around, and it is amazing how quickly that has changed. But there are other astonishing things happening right now. Goes on to say, still some states without known widespread infections began to try to limit exposure from visitors from harder hit areas. Now watch this now. Rhode Island, National Guard troops were instructed to go door to door in coastal communities to find New Yorkers and advise them about a mandatory 14-day quarantine for people from the state. That is martial law. And what we have, you know, in a lot of these states and what we have in Wisconsin, they call it a safer at-home order. It's something akin to martial law, but not quite fully martial law. Martial law is enforced by the military. But when you have troops enforcing these things, that is martial law. And it is happening now in Rhode Island. Rhode Island is under martial law. If it can happen there, it can happen here. And keep in mind that National Guard troops have already been mobilized in Wisconsin and in various other states. They usually say that it's so they can administer testing, but my gut feeling on that is so they can quell any civil unrest. But I found this other article telling a little more about what's happening in Rhode Island. It says, Rhode Island police began stopping cars with New York plates Friday. On Saturday, the National Guard will help them conduct house-to-house searches to find people who traveled from New York and demand 14 days of self-quarantine. Now, the Constitution of the United States clearly says you can't do that. But they're doing it anyway. Right now, we have a pinpointed risk, Governor Gina Raimondo said. The risk is called New York City. New York is the epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak in the U.S., on Friday reporting a total of 444,000 cases. Rhode Island has just over 200, and it has begun an aggressive campaign to keep the virus out, and New Yorkers contain over objections from civil liberties advocates. Raimondo, a Democrat, said she had consulted lawyers and said while she couldn't close the border, she felt confident she could enforce a quarantine. Many New Yorkers have summer houses in Rhode Island, especially in tiny Newport, and the governor said the authorities would be checking there. Yesterday I announced, and today I reiterated, anyone coming to Rhode Island in any way from New York must be quarantined, the governor said, by order, will be enforced, enforceable by law. So yes, they've mobilized the National Guard in Rhode Island. They are doing house-to-house searches, and they're doing that right now. They're also pulling over cars from New York and questioning the drivers. But wait, it gets worse. And you might be wondering, how can it get any worse? Well, there's an article from the Wall Street Journal that says, government tracking how people move around in coronavirus pandemic. How are they tracking people? By using their smartphone data. They're taking all of this data to figure out where people are going, when they're going, and if they are complying with all of these laws. And I tell you what, if people refuse to comply, it would not be surprising to see the troops roll in here in Wisconsin, here in other states as well. I don't know if this is true or not, but I've heard stories from Illinois claiming that cops have pulled people over asking for proof that they were going to work at an essential job. I don't know if that's true or not, but it could be happening in a lot of places before too long anyway. So obviously this is a very unusual time. And this could go on for quite a while. We can't even really comprehend the long-term ramifications of all this. And yes, the government did pass a stimulus plan and are planning to send checks or direct deposits to taxpayers. And taxpayers who have children, they'll get a bonus for their kids as well. It's a nice thought, I suppose, but you need to keep in mind that this is going to add $2 trillion to the national debt. And that national debt is already so big that you could never pay it off. Nancy Pelosi has said that they're probably going to need to do more checks and more payments in the near future. And Pelosi, by the way, also proposed that they release a new monetary system, digital dollars, administered by the Federal Reserve. It would be a new monetary system because they want to make sure everyone is able to get their stimulus checks. Well, eventually that system, if they put it in place, and they haven't given up on that, eventually that system would likely be switched over from what we have now, and that would be the only system. We're already seeing people not wanting to touch cash because they're afraid of the virus. The Piggly Wiggly store here in town has asked customers to please not use cash. And we're seeing more and more of that in many stores. This whole catastrophe could very well usher in a cashless society. We see it happening. And of course, they've been laying the groundwork for that for years. They've already got the technology to do it. You can pay with your phone now. And some people, especially over in Sweden, have gotten microchips, and they're using those to pay. They have them in their hands. Yes, we're seeing these things happen. It is all falling into place, and we don't know how much time we have. But we know that right now there is an urgency that we pray like we've never prayed before. Now, as of right now, the safer at-home order that Governor Evers has issued for the state of Wisconsin. And he said he called it safer at home because it sounds a little nicer, and he didn't want people to be under the impression that they were under martial law. He said that. So it's called a safer at home order. And people will be forced to stay at home as much as possible until the 24th of April, which is still a long way off. Unfortunately, that means we're going to have to postpone our luncheon that we had scheduled for the 5th, as well as our Passover service. And we're probably going to do that sometime in May, if this ban is lifted, and I pray to God that it will be, and help me pray. And if all goes well, I'm hoping we can do it the first Sunday in May. But again, it's going to depend on how things turn out and whether or not the governor lengthens this order. So pray that that doesn't happen, and pray that we'll have an opportunity to get together. And you know, I really hate to do that. I know it's something that we've all looked forward to. It's something I look forward to every year. But these are unprecedented times. And I urge everyone out there to use caution when you are going out and doing your business. And make sure you wash your hands a lot. Isn't it interesting that, you know, just simply washing your hands can kill this virus? Soap and water. And, you know, there were massive runs on hand sanitizer. You still can hardly find it. I think a lot of people were looking at hand sanitizer as being better than soap and water. It actually isn't. Hand sanitizer is supposed to be for when you're out and about and you don't have access to a sink. And actually, yes, hand sanitizer, if it has enough alcohol in it, 60% or more, it will kill the virus. But just remember, in that case, you have dead virus on your hands, which, you know, is a little icky, isn't it? Soap and water is the best way to go. So, since they have most people staying at home anyway, I guess we don't need that much hand sanitizer, do we? But we're going to trust the Lord and keep praying and ask the Lord to keep us all safe. But it is getting ugly out there. This country has been transformed. I believe we're getting closer and closer and closer to that new world order that they want to put in place. But I have good news. The Lord can foil the whole thing.
Amen.
And you know, this whole crisis, really, it just reminds me of that quote. Oh, let's see. I think maybe it was Prince Andrew who said it. I know it was one of the members of the Royal British Family. He said this a while ago. He said, "When I'm reincarnated, I hope it's as a virus so I can do something about overpopulation." So keep in mind that there are people who are actually very happy that this is happening because they want to reduce the population of the world. And they failed to do that so far, but they're looking at better ways to get it done, aren't they? But you know what? The Lord can change things. And that's why it's time to pray.
Time to pray.
We're going to open to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, and this story tells us about a man named Daniel, a man who was a prisoner, a captive, carried off by the Babylonians. But this man outlived Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, he outlasted kingdoms. He lived all the way into the days of King Cyrus. He lived to a nice old age, and the Lord was always with Daniel. Even in the midst of his captivity, even in the midst of all the restrictions that were put in place, he still had the Lord with him. And we today still have the Lord with us. But in this second chapter of Daniel, we're going to see a time when Daniel was faced with an impossible situation, and he didn't have a way out except that he knew the Lord. Daniel chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. You know, it's not uncommon to have bad dreams, and that happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. He wanted to know what his dream meant. There was just one little problem. He couldn't remember the dream, and it was driving him nuts. I'm sure that's happened to all of us at one time or another. We had a dream, but we just can't remember it. It leaves us, and you might have just a little tiny notion of what it was, but you can't remember, and it starts to slip away. And you wonder, was it something important? Dreams can be important sometimes, as we're going to see in this chapter, but this dream left him. He couldn't remember it. And we're going to see that this king, Nebuchadnezzar, had a temper. He had a temper. He was very insistent that things be done and that his demands were met. In fact, he kind of reminds me a little of Donald Trump, honestly. But it says that he called the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers. Verse 3 tells us, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. Wow. Like I said, he had a temper. It's bad enough that he wanted to cut them in pieces if they couldn't tell him this dream, but then he was going to make their houses a dunghill just to add insult to injury. Verse 6. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. They were just kind of stuck on that, weren't they? We can't tell you the dream. We don't know what you dreamed. But these were supposed to be magicians and sorcerers. They were supposed to have ESP. The thing is, they were all phonies. They were all phonies. And they couldn't tell the king his dream. As such, they were facing death. This is quite a demand from the king, isn't it? Verse 8, the king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. In other words, he's saying, quit stalling. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. Now he's telling them they're all a bunch of liars. And he's telling them, you better tell me the dream. That way I'll know for sure that you can properly give me the interpretation. You see, this king getting madder, angrier by the second. He was having none of their nonsense. Verse 10, the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asked such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. In other words, they're saying, king, you are being unreasonable. No one can do what you're asking be done. They're telling him, you are asking for the impossible. The impossible. No one can do this. And you know, under normal circumstances, they would be 100% right in their statement. Ordinarily, no man would be able to do what the king is asking. But let's see what happens. Verse 11, and it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king, except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. Of course, we know that's a bunch of malarkey, because there isn't gods plural. There's just one God. Verse 12, for this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. He wasn't just angry. He was angry and very furious. Now there was a problem here, because Daniel and his companions, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were lumped in with all of these so-called wise men, even though they weren't witches, they weren't sorcerers or magicians or astrologers, but they were lumped in with those men. So according to this decree, Daniel and his companions were going to be slain as well. Now this is a pretty dire situation, isn't it? It's impossible. It's an impossible situation. But we serve a God who knows how to bring us through impossible situations. And right now we're dealing with a catastrophe, with a crisis that seems impossible, doesn't it? The Lord can bring us through this. And that is why it's so important that we pray. When Daniel found out what was happening, he knew something. He realized something. He realized that it was time to pray. Time to pray. We're going to see what happens when Daniel gets a visit. Verse 13, and the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. I'm sure Arioch didn't want to carry out this order, but he visited Daniel with the full intent of slaying him and his companions. Daniel asked, what is this all about? So Daniel was informed of this impossible situation. Verse 16 tells us, then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. You know, there's such a great value in having time. And at this moment, we don't know how much time we have left. We don't know if this country will ever be the same. It could get stricter. It could get tighter. All we can do right now is pray and seek the Lord like never before. And now is the time to pray. Daniel realized something. Yes, he went into the king and asked for time, and he was granted that time, but he knew he needed to spend that time praying. And just as we have time right now, we need to spend that time praying, because we just don't know how much we have left. Verse 17, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish, and the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Daniel realized this is the time to pray. And if there's anything that is going to turn around this mess that we are in right now, it is prayer. Let's see what happens when Daniel and his companions prayed. Verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. This was impossible. All of the magicians and the astrologers, they couldn't do what Daniel was about to do, what God enabled him to do. God revealed the king's dream to him. Why? Because he got down on his knees in prayer. Because he knew it was time to pray. Yes, prayer can turn the tides. Prayer can change things. We have that sign hanging up right over there over our entrance. Prayer changes things. Prayer does change things. And that is why it is of so much necessity right now that we all pray. So God revealed this dream to Daniel. He gave him a night vision. And we see here Daniel's response. Verse 20, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. And yes, God does put people in place. They might think it's their own doing. Kings, royalty, presidents, prime ministers. But it's really what God allows to happen. And God is the one who can change things. God can set up kings. He can remove kings. God can turn a virus to flight. And we need that so desperately right now. Verse 22 tells us, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. You know, if we're able to meet here again, I tell you what, we're going to be thanking the Lord, aren't we? Verse 24. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. None of them could do it. But, and this is an important but right here, but there is a God in heaven. Yes, there's a virus all over the world right now threatening the global population, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days, thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And because God revealed this dream to Daniel, a dream that at this moment in time the king couldn't even remember, it would come back to him when Daniel started to describe it, and he would know of a surety that the interpretation was correct as well. So not only did God give him the king's dream in the form of a night vision, but he also revealed to him the interpretation of it. Everything he needed. Yes, we serve a God who can give us everything we need. Verse 29, as for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have, more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This dream, of course, was about global empires, with the head being represented by the Babylonian Empire that Nebuchadnezzar was in charge of. That was the head. And the other parts of that statue represented the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire. And then there was another empire that would try to be set up. An empire of part iron, of part clay, partly strong, partly weak. And that is the empire that they are trying to set up right now. And it may look daunting. It may look imposing. People might wonder, how can we escape this new world order that they're setting up? Well, there's a God in heaven. And their empire is part iron and part clay. And it tells us in verse 35 that a stone came and smote that image. That stone, that rock, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the final authority. He has the final say in everything that happens. He is in charge. Verse 36, this is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. This man had a lot of authority, but that authority was given to him by God. And he did lose it for a time, too, and had to live like a wild animal because his heart was lifted up in pride. Here Daniel is telling him, God has allowed you to be in this position that you are in right now. He had a lot of authority. He was a king of even kings. But even he had a king. And we know that God is king over all. While Nebuchadnezzar may have been a king of kings, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings.
That is right.
Praise God. Verse 38. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall rise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over the earth. And of course, that kingdom of brass is referring to Alexander the Great and the Greeks. They set up their global empire, and the Roman Empire would come in after that. Verse 40, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. You know, this empire they're trying to set up right now, that is a kingdom divided. And you know what Jesus said? A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Ultimately, they're going to fail. We see them making a push for it right now. I think they're making a play, but they're going to fail. Verse 42, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And that is referring to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something right now. It's a kingdom that will stand forever. It is not an earthly kingdom that's only going to be in effect for a millennium or 1,000 years. It's a kingdom that will stand forever. It's a kingdom that is not of this world. It's a kingdom that will outlast this world. But it is also a kingdom that will destroy all of these other kingdoms. Verse 45, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the pieces, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel. And of course, that's the wrong thing to do. Never worship a man. Never worship a man. But people might read the scripture and say, well, Jesus was worshipped and he permitted it. Yes, that's because he's not just a man. Praise God. You can worship Jesus. You should worship Jesus. When you worship God, you are worshiping Jesus. Because Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, isn't he? So yes, worship Jesus. Worship him every day. But don't just worship a mere mortal man. And I tell you, one thing that really disturbs me are these people out there who seem to worship Donald Trump. Some people do that. And we should never worship a mere mortal man, even if you like what he's doing. Praise God. So, it tells us, then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. I'm sure Daniel was very uncomfortable with this entire situation. Can you imagine if someone tried to do that to you, worship you, and offer sweet odors and oblation? The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Yes, it was an impossible situation. An impossible situation. And God brought him through it.
That is right.
Where do we turn now? We turn to the Lord.
That is right.
It is time to pray. Just as Daniel recognized, it was time to pray. We see now it is time to pray.
Yeah.
Pray without ceasing. Because there is an urgent need for that right now. We see what prayer can do. We see how God answered the prayers of Daniel and his companions, and he can do the same for you. And now we're going to turn to the book of Acts chapter 12 and see another story of what can happen when you pray. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, and we're going to begin with verse 1, which tells us. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And of course, that's terrible. That's rotten to the core. But Herod was persecuting the church of God. He killed James, the brother of John. And then he set his sights on Peter. Impetuous Peter, a man who was causing so much trouble for the devil.
Yes.
Praise God. Verse 3. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. He saw that the Jews were thrilled with this, the Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes. Can you imagine rejoicing over the fact that someone was killed? I don't rejoice over the death of anyone, and no one ever should. I'm sorry, but that's not the right approach. You know, sometimes you hear about the evil people who die, and I find that a sad thing, because it probably means, and of course we don't know for sure, we can never say with any absolute certainty where someone goes in eternity, but some people have a pretty good inkling that they probably went to that place where no one wants to go. And of course, that's a place called hell. But God is so kind and compassionate that he gives us so much time to repent. Of course, we need to understand that time does run out. But they were rejoicing at the death of James. Herod saw they liked it. He always wanted to please them. And the reason for that, of course, is he felt more secure. If the Jewish officials, the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees liked what Herod was doing, he thought that that was a good indicator that his kingdom would be secure. It would reduce the threat to his kingdom. Verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And by the way, that is a verse that almost every other Bible version, and perhaps every other Bible version, gets wrong. People read this verse and they say, well, it should say Passover there, right? Not Easter. No, it says Easter there because Herod was a pagan and he was going to celebrate Easter. The King James is the only Bible that gets this right. Verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. This must have seemed like an impossible situation. But what did they do? They prayed without ceasing. Now is the time to pray, folks. Now is the time to pray without ceasing. We need to pray, and we need to do it now. Verse 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And look at Peter. Most people facing certain death wouldn't be able to take a nap and fall asleep, have a good rest. But here we see Peter. There he was in chains, sleeping in those chains. It would have seemed to most people to be a hopeless situation. And Peter, by the way, didn't know what was about to happen. But I'm sure in his mind he thought, well, I'm ready to see Jesus again. Because he loved the Lord so very much. But God had other plans for Peter. Verse 7 tells us, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. He thought he was having a vision. He didn't think any of this was really happening. How could it? It was impossible, right? And yet it did. Because we serve a God who can do the impossible. Verse 10. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. You know, nowadays when you walk into the grocery store, they have those automatic doors that open up for you when it sees you coming. They didn't have those back here. And yet, that's exactly what that gate did. Yeah. It just opened for Peter. And the angel departed. You know, sometimes when you're in a hopeless situation and you don't know what to do, the Lord will send an angel for you, too. We don't even know how many times the Lord has helped us. Probably more than we realize. But you see, this is what prayer can do. Prayer changes things. Verse 11 tells us, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathering together praying. Of course, we know that in the early New Testament church, the assembly would gather in houses. That's where they would gather. And the way things are going, we might have to go back to that before too long and gather in houses. We don't know at this point. But we do know that we need to pray because the Lord can change things. Yes, we need to pray. Verse 13, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. She was so excited and happy about Peter being at the gate that she forgot to open the gate. Verse 15, and they said unto her, thou art mad, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. They must have thought, well, Herod killed him early. No, he was alive, he was well. Verse 16, but Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Isn't it something? We pray, God answers those prayers, and what happens? People are astonished. Remember something. You serve a God who can do anything. Anything. Verse 17, but he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. And of course, that was a different James. That was not James, the brother of John, because we know that at the beginning of this chapter, it told us that James, the brother of John, had been put to death. But there were multiple James in the New Testament church, and this one was probably the half-brother of Jesus. But this was a great miracle that the Lord had done. And why did this happen? Because the people prayed without ceasing. They prayed without ceasing. Verse 18, now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. Yes, we serve a God who can do anything. We serve a God who can turn around these desperate situations that we find ourselves in, and even this desperate situation we find ourselves in right now. We need to pray. Like never before. Daniel knew it was time to pray. And that church, during Peter's day, knew it was time to pray. And we know that right now it is time to pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray every day. The way things are going in this world, it could get a lot worse before it gets better. But we know the one who can turn it around. We have nothing to lose by asking and everything to gain by praying. So let's do that. Let's continually pray and ask for the Lord's mercy. And it is my hope that one day in the not too distant future we'll be able to have this place filled again. It feels very strange, and I do pray for all of you who are a part of this congregation, both near and far. I know it's very difficult for a lot of people. They're not used to this isolation, and it will have a psychological effect on people. But the Lord can bring us through. Keep praying. Keep praying. That's one thing we can all do that can make the biggest of differences. And with that thought, I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning. Thank Thee, O God, for all the ways that Thou hast helped Thy people. Please be with us. We ask, Lord, we petition Thee, Lord. We seek a way out of this mess that we now find ourselves in. We pray, Lord, that Thou would again allow us to assemble here, not just this small number, but the full congregation. We pray, Lord, that Thou would make a way for us. We pray, Lord, that Thou would deliver Thy people. We pray, O God, that Thou would watch over Thy people, not just here in this building, in this local congregation, but all those who listen online and all of Thy people all around the world, in every country who are suffering right now. Be with Thy people, lift them up, and we ask, Lord, that Thou would call others to repentance. We pray, Lord, that they would turn to Thee and seek Thee, Lord, for we know that these are desperate times, and we need Thee so very much. We have no hope without Thee, but we know, O God, that Thou art a God who can do the impossible. We know that just as Thou delivered Daniel and Peter, we trust Thee that Thou art able to deliver us. So we ask, Lord, that Thou would do so. Help us, Lord. We ask, O God, that Thou would never cease to be with Thy people, and help us to always believe on Thee, to walk with Thee day and night, to put our complete faith and our complete trust in Thee. Abide with Thy people, we pray, even in these strange days of social isolation. We know, Lord, that we can draw nigh to Thee, and we know that when we do so, Thou art near unto us. So be with us, we pray, and let Thy Spirit be upon all of Thy people. We ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to open our chorus books in closing here. Let's turn to number 89 and sing, God Can Do Anything, number 89. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. God bless you all. Be with you all. Stay safe out there. And remember, it's time to pray. Praise the Lord.